I'm Peter, and this is Glass Hexagon, the podcast for solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, full vegans, demi-vegans, eco-warriors, zero-wasters, vegetarians, and everything in between. It's episode 6, and I'm going to try and take more of a relaxed theme today. Going to be less scripted and a bit more freestyling. So today I'll be talking about price and features of flagship phones and why I registered as a limited company rather than a sole trader. I've been away for a few weeks. I've been in the middle of a move and I haven't had chance to sit down, get my setup ready and just make a podcast. I know that's not really an excuse. I should always have content to do, should always find an hour or so to put something together, but I just haven't. We've been painting, we've been moving, we've been in of one, out of the other. We've had to decorate both places. So it's been a real challenge getting that all done. And it's just taken me this long to get round to making a new podcast. So anyway, like I said, I'm back and I'm going to try and be less scripted today. My phone is pretty knackered at the moment. There's a massive black smudge across a third of the screen and there's a huge crack from the left to the right hand side. This happened November last year originally. I was playing air hockey Pac-Man or Pac-Man air hockey with my new work colleagues. Had a few beers. We'd been at an adventure day out and I got far too excited about hitting the air hockey puck. So I wasn't using my phone. I was using the air hockey puck, but I was slamming my side so hard into it, it smashed the screen. So not very good. The crack was all the way across it. And I just bought my phone out a month earlier from my previous employer and paid about £250 for it. So if I'd have refused to pay that, I probably would have had a new phone and it probably wouldn't have happened. That was the big crack. And then the night after, my phone just fell from just the side of the bed. That was it, the side of the bed, onto the floor. It fell onto its own charger and then smashed. And that was where the big black smudge came across. Just all the pixels had completely gone. And that's just got worse and worse. Every time it's had a little knock, it's gone further up. It's got worse. The crack's got bigger. I'm used to it now. But when I discuss it with people, I get my phone out. Everyone's like, how can you even see what you're looking at? I can see it. I've got a good imagination. I can kind of predict what's there, what should be there. The only difference is when I text and WhatsApp people, they'll often get an incorrect word. Or I might even send stuff to the wrong person, which I've had to delete a message straight away before. But never mind, I'm getting on with it. I'm only paying £13 a month at the moment rather than £40. So I'm trying to save as much money as I can and put that extra 20 or 30 quid into something else. And that was about 8 months ago. So now I've had the phone about 2 years. And even though it is getting inconvenient, once we go back into the real world and we start meeting people, I go to sales meetings, I just go to meet anyone. If I'm getting my phone out and it's just completely knackered, not even a small crack, people are going to wonder what I'm doing. It's going to be a little bit embarrassing. It's okay with friends. I can kind of joke about it and brush it off and say I'm saving. And I was moving for a house. I'd rather put 30 quid into anything around the house. So because of that, I started looking around. So my one is the S9 Plus. And the S9 Plus, when it came out 2 and a bit years ago, was the top phone you could get from Samsung. I'm taking out the Galaxy Note. I don't look at that as a phone. It's more of one of the phablets. But that was the top phone I could get at the time. It was about £35 a month, I think. I got it when I was just starting a new job, so I thought it was very good and quite an impressive phone to have at the time. Most people had the S9, not the S9 Plus. And that was about £35. Once I bought the phone off my employer, when I said in October time, I'd already paid off the phone, so I only had to get a SIM-only contract. The SIM-only contract was meant to be £15, but I got a 10% discount, and it's increased slightly, so it's about £13 something. That's a lot less to go out each month than 30 or 40 quid. That's a big installment. The first reason I didn't do it, an upgrade, was I wanted to get a Whoop fitness tracker. And the Whoop fitness tracker was about 25 euros, so it worked out about £20 a month. My idea was, do you want a new phone or do you want a Whoop fitness tracker, which you pay monthly? The idea for me was I'd rather the fitness tracker than just a new phone, which I'm going to feel is dated in a year anyway, and I'm not that interested in. So as I started taking a look at phones, I took a look at the Samsungs again. I tend to go for Samsungs because I've been buying my own phones, even though it's only been a couple of years ago. Even at the age of 28, I was getting my mum and dad to pay my monthly contract. But since then, I've always gone for a Samsung as I see them as the best. And I had an iPhone once for work and I didn't like it. So because of that, I have stayed with Samsung. So I did the same, looked on the Samsung website, took a look around, saw what the best phone was. So now they do three phones. Well, I think it's four as of last week. They brought out the Samsung S20 Fan Edition. But there's three phones. There's the S20, the S20 Plus, which is slightly better, and the S20 Ultra. The S20 Ultra has lots of different random features, which are very high quality. Like there's 100x zoom. I think there's a 58 megapixel camera on the back, a telescopic lens, wide angle lens. But when you look into it, a lot of those features can't be used very well or in conjunction with anything else. So if you look at the high megapixel camera, and if you use the 100x zoom, the shake just from your hands is going to be too much. If you're trying to film, it's just not going to work, and it just doesn't work. So you can use the different features at different times, but not in conjunction. So a lot of it, they sell you all this, 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 and this, but they don't actually work. So always, if you're having a look at the high spec phones, take a look and see if it can all work and if it can for what you need it for. So I like the high quality cameras. That works well for me. If I take any product photography, just memories as well. I've really got into taking pictures since I've been with my girlfriend 4 years ago, especially with Google Pictures and Google Memories. So it comes back every year. You've got this memory, you've got that memory. I don't have to post it on Facebook. I don't have to post it on Instagram. It's going to tell me that through the cloud. So a camera is important to me. But is it worth £84 a month? Because that's how much it is. And that's just the starting price. I'm on the Carphone Warehouse site now. And the Galaxy 20 Ultra is £84 a month. You can get the S20, the standard one, at £47, which isn't a bad price. It's okay. But it just shows how much the prices have gone up. That's gone up £10 a month since 2 years ago. 10 times 12, that's 120, times 2 is 240. So it's actually £240 for the 2 months that you're going to use it for. The 2 years that you're going to use it for. If you start to upgrade that, so the S20 Plus is from £62 a month, but there's £80 up front. The Ultra starts at £84 a month, and there's £30 up front. So you're getting the prices up there. If you start to move to the Galaxy Z Flip, which I haven't seen many reviews for, that's £75 up front and £75 per month. And you can get the Fold. So that's the Galaxy Fold. That's the new one, which goes lengthways, that folds out rather than the traditional flip phone. And that starts at £99 a month and £80 up front. I can't believe they're even charging you up front for that. So that's £2,000 you're paying across the 2 years. If I go into it, so I'm on the page now, the Fold, it does look very smart. It does look good. I'll give it that. But if I go to view deals, so that's from, I can't imagine that being the best package. Okay. So from Vodafone, so it is a 20-month contract and it's unlimited everything. So the Fold's a little bit different, but it still does start at £99 a month. That's expensive. That is getting pricey. So to bring it back, 2 years ago, I got the best phone. I got the Samsung S9 Plus, and it was £40 a month. Let's round it up. And now to get the best leading cutting edge flagship phone, it's £100 a month. That's expensive. That is a pricey phone. So all this got me thinking, right, okay, is that a good way to do it? Do I want to spend that much money? How can I bring it down? Should I buy a phone up front and then pay monthly again for the SIM only? Or should I just go secondhand? Or is there an actual eco-friendly phone that I can buy? I looked around and there's two options which I can see to be more eco-friendly. So the first one is to buy a secondhand phone. So it stops it going into the waste, and it means that companies are going to promote it. So they're going to buy people's phones off them when they've ever run out of contract or don't like it or just need the money. They're going to put a margin on there. They're going to make some profit and they're going to sell it on to you. Is that a good way to do it rather than people just throwing them in the bin or going to cash converters, if that's still a thing? So I took a look and it seems that Music Magpie, of all places, seems to be doing some good offers. So you get a 12-month warranty and you can save a couple of £100 on the phone. They've got S20s on there already. I know the S20's not been out that long. So it's a good price if you want to save a little bit of money, buy it outright, and then just go for your SIM only. And SIM only is a lot less going out each month. There's a lot less to worry about, especially with today's day and age where a lot of people have lost their jobs, they've been on furlough. Rather than £100 a month going out, or even let's say 50, 40, you've only got £13, £15. It's a lot easier to manage, a lot easier to carry on. Yeah, there's the money up front, but if you've got that money up front, it means it's done and dusted away. See you later. This option doesn't feel massively eco-friendly, even though it technically is. As your friends just think you've either got a new phone, because they're basically perfect and pristine, as Music Magpie would say, or you've got an older phone. to sell? Is that an older phone? Is that the S10? Is that the S9? So your friends and people who see it just see an older phone or a phone. Not massively eco, but you are doing your little bit. So that's all okay. Well done. I was trying to find a phone that was pushing, saying they're eco-friendly. They do this, they do that. They make it from sustainable parts. They make it easy to fix. They make it recyclable, or more recyclable than some of the difficult Samsungs that you can't even take apart. And I know iPhone are quite bad for that. So this is where the Fairphone comes in. I'm not sponsored by the Fairphone. I don't think they know who I am, but I'm going to talk about that as it is quite a good price for them. So they do push the eco-friendly. They say they get sustainable items. They say it's easy to fix, easy to upgrade. It's a much better eco-friendly phone. And if you want the idea of people knowing you've bought the eco-friendly phone, this phone on the back says Fairphone changes in your hands. So yeah, a bit cringy, but it does say it and people will ask you about it. It's much cheaper than other Samsungs. So the standard one is £389. That's brand new, absolutely brand new. Or you can get their Fairphone Plus, which is their upgrade. So they're stolen. No, sorry, they're not stolen. They have the same name as the Samsungs do with the Plus. And the Plus is £425. So that's really cheap. The cheapest secondhand S20 that was good was £620+. And then to buy it brand new, it's about £800. So you're almost getting it at 50% of the price. The specs show that slightly. They aren't as great as the Samsung. They're quite high, but they don't really compare. So it depends what you want. If you want the best top phone, pay £100 a month. But if you want a high grade phone, which people will ask you about and say, what's that? And then you can talk about that it's an eco-friendly phone, then do it. For me, it doesn't look as good. The back kind of looks the same as any other phone, apart from it's got Fairphone written on it and the changes in your hands, very small. But the front of it has quite large bezels. So at the bottom and the top, it's a bit old school. It's almost S7, S6 style, or even before that when the A phone originally came out from Samsung. So it's not that great looking. It's not going to break any awards for being the best looking phone, but it is a lot cheaper and it still has some very high specs on there. Not as great specs, but high specs. You go in and there's a 48 megapixel camera still, which is very high for this price. They say they're designed to last, they're fairly sourced, and they use recyclable materials, apparently up to 40% are recycled plastics, 48 and 60 megapixel cameras, 5.6 HD display, socially responsible, and apparently a full day battery life. A lot of them say it's full day battery life, but we'll see. So it's a good option. And if you do want to go for the actual fair trade, ask me about my phone. It's eco-friendly option. I'd recommend it. And I'm really thinking about it. What's holding me back is I don't want to get the phone and feel like it's a downgrade from my S9, which is 2 years old. I want it to feel like an upgrade. And will it? I'm not sure. I don't know anyone who's got one. So it is a bit of a risk and I'm kind of weighing up the pros and the cons of doing that. At the moment, we're all inside. I'm not going to any meetings. I'm not seeing anyone. It's only friends. They all know now that my phone's cracked. So I don't really need to invest anymore. Would I rather buy a new phone for £400 and not put my £400 into shares each month? I'm not sure. Let's see. I've also just moved and I might want to get a bike. Do I get a bike? Do I put my money into shares? Do I buy a new phone? It's all up there. We'll see. We'll see. That's this week's chat. And as usual, I will put the links to anything I discussed today in the description. And I'll be tweeting some stuff out and putting some Instagram posts about that as well. So if you want to look at the Fairphone, take a look or just search Fairphone, up to you. I don't get any affiliate marketing links, but I'll always do that for you so you can see it and take a look this week at when I post. As always, here's the advert I recorded for Anchor in week one. And don't worry, I'll be recording an updated one soon as I'm getting a bit more confident and I think the first one was pretty bad. So here you go. This week's topic is, why did I set up a limited company versus just being a sole trader? There are three reasons I decided to do that. And that is equivalent for Tooth Be Told, toothpaste company, and Glass Hexagon. So the company which I record this and is technically a media company. Don't have any customers. It's just to do a podcast and YouTube. But when it becomes a monetized system and a monetized business, then that's why I've done it this way. The first reason is appearance for buyers. This is mainly for truth be told, because Glass Hexagon isn't an e-commerce business, isn't going to sell any products. And in short, selling to a Mr. Peter isn't going to seem as legit as truth be told. Today, a lot of people have got the new challenger fintech banks, such as Monzo, Starling, those ones, where you receive a notification straight away as soon as you've made a purchase, so it beeps in instantly. If this comes through, beeps up saying, hi, you've made a purchase from Mr. Peter, there's going to be a high chance that people are going to cancel that. One, because they might not realize it's Tupertold. Two, they might think, who's this mate trying to sell me toothpaste and pretend he's a business? I'm taking a multi-channel approach, so I'm going to be selling on e-commerce sites, Amazon, social media, and buyers need to feel like their money is safe and the product is of high quality. So if you are going out buying this product, would you tell your partner you've bought from Mr. Peter online? Or even again, if it's a joint account, the information comes through instantly and your partner's going to say, who's this? Who's Mr. Peter? Is this real? I've never heard of them. Or if it's truth be told, oh, what's truth be told? That sounds interesting. Or what's truth be told? They might search it, they'll see it. Doesn't look like it's a random person trying to take your money. That being said, you might buy off channels like Etsy or eBay, where it'll be like Buyer 123 Eco or Eco Buyer 123, something like that. Etsy seems to have a different approach, and Amazon seems to have a different approach as well. So it seems like you can buy from these random people and it's all okay. I'm not selling through Etsy. And I'm not selling through eBay either. And the reason for that is Etsy, they like handmade stuff. Mine isn't handmade. I would have loved to sell on Etsy. It's quite a cool website. And eBay, I'm not selling on eBay. I took an e-commerce course just online from Udemy. And the bloke was saying, yeah, okay, you can sell on all the channels, but try and be quite decisive in who and who you don't work with, as in the e-commerce platform. He went for each individual one, the pros and the cons. And the cons of eBay was it seems that it's a low budget option. And that stems from their original auction days. I don't actually buy anything on there through auction. I buy it straight up. But do I want my brand associated with eBay, which is low quality? I don't. So because of that, I took it out of the business plan, decided not to sell on eBay. I want it to be this big brand that everyone knows about. As I'm creating a referral scheme and kind of a buyer's club, which I took the idea from The Body Shop. They've got a very good point system on their website. Want to do something very similar to that. There'll be lots of customers who are going to research the history of the brand, the founders, the employees, the turnover, all the different parts of the business. If I'm not registered as a business, this is going to raise a few questions again. People are going to see that, see it's not a business, see it's a person. And especially with a website like that, which is going to look high-end, very professional, where you're paying £13 for a toothpaste, you want to feel like it's a business that's been set up, which is secure, your money is secure, and the product is coming. If it's a random person, because it's more of a luxury product, and that's what I'm aiming for, to be a luxury vegan toothpaste, people might think it's somebody who's a quick chancer trying to make some quick money, and it's not. It's to try and build a brand. So that's why I feel like having a limited company is much more important for the appearance for the buyers. Just making people feel safe and secure that their money is going to a business where their product will turn up and it'll be a high quality product. The second reason is funding. So as I'm launching a brand new design of toothpaste, I've had to order 5,000 units as a minimum. A lot of businesses wanted me to order 10,000, 20,000 plus units, which work it out, even a pound, I'm paying much, much more than a pound. But even if it's at £1, 5,000 units is £5,000. If you think of the Amazon fees I would have to pay, the delivery fees, all the marketing budget that has to come out, that's a lot of money to put up front and to have saved. And I've mentioned before, I've just moved house. So all my money was going into the deposit. And you've seen deposits recently, they've gone up. You need to put down 20%. So that really did mean that all of our money went into the deposit. I can personally take out a startup loan, and that is how startup loans work, as they can't put it against the business because the business hasn't turned over anything. There's some money that I've put in to buy some bits and pieces, like Adobe Suite, like some microphones, the stands for my camera, that kind of bits, but there's no real funding behind it. There's no rolling income. So I can't put it against the business. So the startup loan has to be against me anyway, which is fine. It's just the way it works. You can't put a loan against nothing. But it isn't just for the short-term funding, it's for long-term investment as well. If I want to build the brand and I want some investment, people are going to put investment, say they might take a 20% fund. They're going to take that from the business. They're not going to take 20% of my income, as I'm just never going to do that. And that's just not the way it works. People don't buy a stake of a person, they buy a stake of a business. So the sooner I've got that business running, say it does take off, say somebody posts a picture of my toothpaste, it's a celebrity or a micro influencer, and it takes off. Suddenly somebody wants to say, right, okay, yeah, I want to put 20% in, let's beef up the marketing massively. I can do that straight away. We can get moving, we can do that. If it's just a person, again, of that appearance, the appearance might be, okay, this is just a bloke who's got lucky. This isn't a real business. He doesn't have a long-term strategy. I'm going to hold back on this. I'm going to go to somebody else. So the aim is to bring the value of the business up in value. So at the moment, it's worth nothing, essentially. But once you make sales, you bring that up, you make more money, and then people are more likely to put that money into your business as an investment. So like I said, although people buy from people, they don't buy the shares of a person, they buy the shares of a business. What's Dragon's Den, for example? Even they say, right, I like you, I'm going to buy into the business because of you. There's the idea there still. They're not buying the person, they're buying that business. And that is what I want to do. And that is key for going ahead, for funding and investment. The third reason, and maybe the most important one for now, is that this is key that it's just a side hustle at the moment and I need to continue working my 9 to 5. And this is my main reason it needs to be a business. By registering as a business, any revenue that is generated goes into the business account first. And then it's down to me what happens with that revenue. So if I was a sole trader, all the sales that I would come in would go into my bank account. They'd go straight in. I don't want that. I want it to sit completely separate. I want it to stay away. Don't want it to be my income. It's the business's income. Also, with the business, I'll have limited liability. So even though that startup loan is my startup loan, any debts that the business would get, if they were to get any, would be the business's. That's completely separate to me. I don't have to worry about it. My partner doesn't have to worry about it. It's not going to go against my mortgage. Anything else that I need, the business's debt is the business's debt. With a sole tradership, you don't pay yourself a wage or dividends. You're paid based on what's called drawings. So you draw the money from the business. And the thing with the drawings is you're taxed 25% and up to 50K, and then it goes up to 40% after 50K. So you're taxed 25% quite early on. And that's okay. If that's your only income, that's fine. But as I'm already working in a role where I'm getting a decent salary, any income that comes into me is going to be taxed at 25% straight away. So every £10 I earn, I lose £2.50. So I only get £7.50 for every 10. Broadly speaking, a limited company is more tax efficient if you already have an income. And that's because you can claim different bits back and put them against the business where you can't if it's a sole tradership. And that's the way I want to run the business. So I don't want it to pay me a wage specifically. I've got my 9 to 5 for that. That gives me a wage, that gives me a pension. I also earn commission. That's great, happy with that. I'd rather the business paid my mortgage and even was able to get me a tax efficient car, like an electric car. So the business can pay me in actual bits and pieces and niceties where my wage is my wage and that's my cash. For Glass Hexagon, once I start doing recordings, hopefully it will pay for me to go to different exciting places where I can go away, do a recording with different guests, maybe across England, maybe across the globe. And that's what that's going to bring me. It's going to bring me some nice experiences and some nice travels. As Glass Hexagon is a media company, it also means that I can do some paid work for myself across the network of businesses. So that means I can do some paid marketing work. I can use my podcast. I can use a YouTube channel when it gets going as some exposure. And because there's the cross demographic there, I'm going out to vegan people. I'm going out to healthy eaters. I'm going out to businesses and business owners. There's going to be a bit of a cross reference there. So that is how it can work well. And that's what a lot of the large businesses do. The overall plan is to have multiple streams of incomes. I've mentioned it once today already, but because of the pandemic, there's no industry or any job which is safe. Doesn't matter where you are, who you are, you're not safe. So if I can have that 9 to 5, which I mentioned has the basic wage, has the commission, has the pension, I can have an e-commerce business, a media agency, some stock dividend payments, and a lifetime ISA, I'll have 5 different streams of income and saving options. So yes, the £400 a month putting it into stocks, some of them don't even pay a dividend. So I have some shares in Google and Nvidia. They don't pay a dividend, but hopefully it goes up year on year in value. So that's not a short-term investment. That's a long-term investment. And that's the same with the lifetime ISA. So my lifetime ISA is going to have tracker funds, and I'm going to track the S&P 500, and then the FTSE 100 and the FTSE 250. And that will grow every single year, but I can't take that out until I'm 65. But the thing is with a lifetime ISA is that you put in $4,000 a year and you get in a grand for free, and then you can invest that grand. So the compound interest is not only on your 4,000 that you're putting in, it's also on the £1,000 that you're getting from the government. So you can make that. Even with no compound interest for 30 years, I'm going to make thousands, hundreds of thousands. If we work it out, 5,000 times 30 is 150 grand. So that's 150 grand without any compound interest and without any dividends being paid. I'll have 150 grand sat there by the time I'm 60, which will be nice. I can either take that out, put it to a new house, put it to a holiday, give it to children, give it to charity, and do what I want. But that is a small stream of income and a small savings account. It's all about being financially stable and have financial freedom. So having those five streams of income, including two businesses, is a brilliant way to get there. And to highlight on that point, idea is that it is a side hustle and I can continue working my 9-to-5. That is key there. It is on the side to make an extra stream of income. I have no reason or no plan to quit that role. That was today's podcast, and they were my three reasons to why did I set up a limited company versus being a sole trader. If you enjoyed it, please follow, subscribe, comment, and like so you're kept in the loop for the next week. The 7 days after the podcast is released, I'll be tweeting about the topics covered and hopefully having some interesting online conversations while I'm at it. If you were interested in any of the products that I linked today that I spoke about, they'll also be in the description, and I'll send out a few tweets as well. Okay, hopefully see you next week. Bye.